of battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Perhaps today, you're facing a battle. Perhaps today in your life, right, in this time, in this season of your life, you're facing some sort of battle. Maybe it's a battle to pass a hard class at school that you're just struggling in, right? A subject that you don't do well in. This opening video talked about this young girl doing well in every subject but math. And I think I struggled in every subject. I don't remember a subject I did well in school. Maybe you're struggling in a class right now. It's a battle for you. And maybe the battle you're facing is with a coworker or a boss. It's a personality issue. You just see things differently there at the workplace and how it's run. And it's hard for you to go in every day. It's a battle for you. Maybe it's a health battle that you're facing with your aging parents. What's the next step with them? How do you make it through this time or this season with your aging parents? Maybe it's a battle with your teenager, right? Every day it's a battle with them. You're struggling with some issues that they're going through right now. Maybe it's a battle with your ex, right? You two are just fighting and arguing. Regardless of the situation, we all have battles that we're facing. We all have battles that we're facing, right? Every one of us. And if you're not in one, right, if you're not currently in a battle, then one is right around the corner. God knew his people were about to face a battle. He also knew his people might change their minds and retreat. So what did he do? He led them to a place where they had nowhere else to turn but to him. And from the outside looking in, it appeared as if they were trapped. Maybe you feel trapped today. Maybe in some way, form, or fashion, you feel trapped. That there's nowhere else to turn, nowhere else to go right now. What is it I want you to know? This thing that you're dealing with, that's heavy on your heart, that's on your mind, this may all be a part of God's plan for your life. It may all be a part of his plan for your life. Why? So that he will receive the glory when he delivers you from it. Right? So that he will receive the glory from it when he delivers you from it. Chapter 14 in Exodus, verse 1. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across from Baal-Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will this battle going on. Am I alone in this? I don't think so. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples when they fell asleep as he was about to go to the cross? Mark 14:38, he said, "Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The flesh. It's this battle between the spirit and the flesh. I'm often walking in the flesh instead of in the spirit. Because I'm weak. The Israelites were weak. How do we know this? Because of what they said when they saw Pharaoh and his army approaching. What did they say when they saw Pharaoh and his army approaching? Let's jump back into Scripture. Verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than to be a corpse in the wilderness." Wait a second. Time out. Their life was terrible in Egypt. Now they want to go back? Why would they say these things? Why did they say these things? Because they weren't trusting God to take care of them. Let me say that again. They weren't trusting the Lord to take care of them. Are you trusting the Lord to take care of you today? Are you trusting God to provide? God would fight their battle for them if they would allow him to. Continuing on, verse 13. But Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch. The Lord will rescue you today. The Egyptians you see, what you see before you, the Egyptians you see today, will never be seen again. Never see them again. You trust me. The Lord himself will what? Fight for you. The Lord's going to fight for you. Just stay calm." What was the problem here? I mean, really, what was the problem here? They could only see what was right in front of them. They had tunnel vision. I don't know about you, but I often have this tunnel vision. I focus so much on that little tiny thing that I lose sight of the big picture. I lose sight of what matters, what's really important in life, because I'm so focused on what I think is the most important thing in life. I turn into my OCD mode, obsessive compulsive about it, and I can't see anything beyond it because I'm so focused on it. What did they need to do? They needed to look beyond themselves. Once again, the disciples in Jesus' day struggled with the same thing. Jesus had just fed thousands of people, and yet they argued about having no bread. Don't ever worry about not having enough. Don't ever worry about not having enough money. even believe it. I should, because it's true. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples that day when they were arguing about not having enough? Matthew 16, verse 7. At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. We don't have any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, "You have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with five loaves and the baskets of leftovers you picked up?" How many did they pick up? 12 baskets. "Or the 4,000 I fed with seven loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up, seven? Don't you remember?" Translation, what's wrong with you? Monica says that to me all the time. She's like, "You read that Bible day and night. What's wrong with you?" Jesus says, if you have me in your life, you'll never go hungry. That's what Jesus says, right? If you have me in your life, you'll always have enough. So quit worrying about not having enough, whatever it is that you think you don't have enough of. If you have me in your life, you'll be victorious. 1 John 5, verse 4, the Apostle John says, "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith." And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's who wins this battle in the world we live in today. So do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you really believe that? Do you believe greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world? Do you believe that in your heart, deep down in your soul? That Jesus living inside of you is greater than the evil one who's in this world today? And if you do, then you'll stop crying out to him and get moving. Get busy doing what you know he's called you and wants you to do. It's exactly what the Lord told Moses to do, verse 15. Back in our story. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? You know what you're supposed to be doing. Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the waters so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground." Here's the thing. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. You don't believe things will ever get better in your life or change? You really don't believe things will ever get better in your life or change. Sorry. You don't know the power of God. Do you want some examples? Look at Joseph. One minute he's sitting in prison. The next he's second in charge of all of Egypt. What about Naomi? She lost her sons. Because of this, she said, don't call me Naomi. Her name means pleasant. Don't call me that. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Her life turned out to be anything but bitter. Her life turned out to be anything but bitter. God blessed her with a daughter-in-law who wouldn't give up on her. Because Ruth was faithful to her mother-in-law, God blessed her with a child of her own. And this child was no ordinary child, but wound up in the lineage of Christ. Let's talk about Jesus for a moment. He looked like he was dead. However, 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. So what are you saying, Ed? Your life's not over. Your life's not over. God is using this thing that happened to you to strengthen your faith in Him. God is using this thing that happened to you to strengthen your faith in Him, to deepen your walk and relationship and your trust in Him, this battle that you're facing. Oh, you know these verses in James 1. James 1, verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to what? Grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Yes, Lord, I want to get to that point in my life where I'm perfect and complete and I don't need anything but you, Jesus. Help me to get to that point. Because I'm not there. What is it the Israelites needed? What did the Israelites need? They needed someone who would fight for them. Verse 21, back in our story. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots and charioteers, chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down. The Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud. And He threw the forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites, the Egyptians shouted. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. The Lord is fighting for them. What is it I want you to know? God is fighting for you. He's fighting for you today. Why is He fighting for you? Because He loves you. It's because He loves you. You are His child. You gotta believe I would do anything for my child. I would fight tooth and nail for her. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you become His son and daughter. There's nothing that can ever separate you from the love that God has for you. There's nothing you can do. How do we know this? Because the apostle belief that God still loved him. With all of the junk, all of the stuff that was going on in his life, he believed God loved him. Verse 35 in Romans 8, he says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us? If we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death, as the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. I want you to know whatever it is that you're going through today, Jesus loves you. He hasn't forgotten about you and your situation. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. He knows every little intricate detail of your life. Now, why would the Israelites experience victory that day? Why did they experience victory that day? Why? Because they trusted God to fight the battle for them. They trusted him to fight this battle. They had nowhere else to turn. They were trapped. And what was the result? When the Egyptians tried to escape, the Lord swept them into the sea. Verse 26, when all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their chariots and charioteers. So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back to its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers. The entire army of Pharaoh, of all the Egyptians who chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. Not a single one survived. Maybe you're trying to escape your current situation. Maybe you're trying to escape your current situation. You're not the one who needs to be on the run. You're not the one who needs to be on the run. Instead, you're the one who needs to stand still and stay calm. Why? Because he will rescue you. He will rescue you just like he rescued the Israelites. Last passage here as we're about to close out, verse 29. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. That is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hands of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. So what's my prayer today? What's my prayer? That you'd see the mighty power of God at work in your life. God is working in your life. And my prayer is that you would see it, that you would be filled with awe, and that you would put your faith in the Lord Jesus. I never dreamed I'd be where I'm at today. I never dreamed that I'd be sitting here up on this stage. What do you mean by that, Ed? I have a wife who loves me. belief that God is fighting for you. A belief that God is fighting for you. Just because something bad happens doesn't mean He doesn't love you. Remember, God can make a way where there seems to be no way. He parted the Red Sea for His people. And He will do the same for you. I want to leave you with this final statement. Believe the impossible. Because nothing is impossible with God. That should be a motto for life, right? Maybe put that on a t-shirt. Believe the impossible. Because nothing is impossible with God. Believe.